Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. It is the end of the year. The crisp winter is all around us now. Snow's on the ground, in the branches of the trees. Pour yourself a good mug of brandy, warming inside. And as you're sitting there enjoying your steam bath, drinking something warm, looking out at the winter, the steam bubbling up alongside you. And where is your mind going? You're thinking of, well, the Bears. The Bears had a good team, a good season. You're thinking of maybe Super Bowl. Then you think of what's going on with the city government and the Illinois government. You're sitting there in that hot tub thinking, I must be feeling the way frogs must feel when they turn up the simmering just a little bit, little heat, little more heat. The frogs don't know what's going on. They don't want to move. They don't want to leave that warm spot in the hot tub. And sooner or later, they're boiled because that's what government is doing to you right now, boiling you, at least in Illinois and in Chicago. Now I'm out of the hot tub because I'm in Indiana, which is a free land. But back where you are in Illinois, where many of you are, the steam is rising. It's almost hypnotic. That's why we're calling this podcast Frogs in the Pot, because there are many frogs trying to get warm and trying to be warm and not have to think about girls burning and on the CTA and the mayor not having a budget and not able to do the simple acts of governance, the council fighting amongst themselves, and Democratic Socialists of America screaming at those of you who pay taxes. It's a little chaotic. I just say, sit there in the hot tub, drink the brandy, try to stay a little warm as you simmer along in Illinois. Jeff Carlin is here, executive producer, WGN Radio. And I'm here, John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com, your place for a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And where are you as all the frogs simmer in Illinois, as there's one kind of fat, angry frog sitting in Indiana looking at you and telling you to beware? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way.
That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Hello.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, Jeff, it's time to get back to work. I know that it's technically not New Year's Day yet.
Bah humbug. It's not even the first yet, John, as we're recording this. And most people, it'll be just barely the first, maybe, if they ever listen to it. Why can't we just take, wait, let's have to the 5th. We have that Monday. I mean, I think everybody, the world's crazy enough. I think we can enjoy the company of others and maybe a nip here and there until the 5th. But I get what you're saying. On the 5th, we need to get back to work because we definitely have a lot of problems.
I'm thinking of Jeff and Christine in red flannel pajamas, onesies.
Matching red flannel
pajamas.
Matching
with the feet, you know, the Dr.
Denton's. No footies. Yeah, no footies. They don't make footies big enough for my feet. I need farmer hand onesies.
But, Jeff, people have to get to work. It's time to get to work, damn it. Let's go.
John, I know you've got a lot of issues, as we definitely do. It's going to be a busy year, and it's our end of the year, John. We need to be doing lists. We're supposed to be having cocktails, segments, if I've learned anything from watching TV, which I don't watch a lot of regular TV anymore, John. I just don't have time. If it's not a documentary on the space program or some sort of Nat Geo or Nova show, I don't think I'm watching
it. Well, I'm waiting for Jeff to give us the definitive answer about the direwolves, because that's all I'm seeing on my feed.
The direwolves.
The howl of the direwolves. We haven't heard them for 10,000 years, and now they're little baby pups. I think they're genetically modified wolves, but anyway.
Yeah, right.
They're going to breed, and they're going to kill their owners or kennel master, and then they're going to breed out into the open and multiply.
Is this a documentary you're watching?
It's a nightmare of science fiction. Like, why don't they do some genetic modification and do recreation of what's the name of that bear that scared Joe Rogan half to death? This round faced bear or something like that.
I'd be honest, John, I don't follow a lot of Joe Rogan. I mean, I know there's a lot of science, a lot of weird chimera science sci-fi happening out
there. Thank you for that. It
does make me uneasy, that's for sure. But in the one hand, just because, messing with life. Nobody learned anything from Jurassic Park. I mean, I think that was a pretty stark warning. But I think that it's interesting because, there's a lot to be learned there, but that's a moral gray area for most people. That are going to develop the saber-toothed tiger. I know there's a plan to bring that back, or at least like clone a regular tiger and splice in some saber-toothed tiger DNA. And they've got a woolly mammoth. I think the Russians are growing somewhere. I mean, I know driving it is like the idea of science and if we can't, but I feel like part of it is some people are just curious about like eating exotic meats, especially in far flung places. Yeah.
Listen,
that's what's part of like some of the investors in this stuff are like, people are like, well, what if we could corner the market on saber-toothed tiger steaks?
Why don't they corner the market on Arctodus simus? The giant short-faced bear that frightened Joe Rogan, that aforementioned Joe Rogan, a massive, formidable Ice Age predator from North America, 12 feet tall, powerful build, role as an apex predator that eventually went extinct because it ate all the food. There was no more food, and he starved to death. But you know what? If we bring them back, we're going to have these bears feasting on us.
Wow.
Chimera, whatever that is.
Chimera, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
They vanished 11,000 years ago. So humans did exist with them. It's not like they're ancient history. One of the things to build an animal to get that big, you have to have a higher concentration of oxygen in the air, and that's one of the problems too. Is that you people talk about like the size of like bringing back dinosaurs in our oxygenate the level in like naturally occurring in our current age is different from when they were existed. So we don't even know if they, if they were born, if they could even really breathe the way their genetics, and that's why they would be spliced in some other animal, and so. It
I
would probably
see.
so if they take like a grizzly and then mix it with this thing, we might get then some sort of super alternative. But then it's with the old fallacy of like a boat. If you replace every plank on a boat, is it still, is it still the same boat? If I replace everything in this bear with other technology, other DNA, is it really the same bear, or are we created some sort of weird monster future bear? And that's where you get into the gray area.
Well, I hope that you scientists enjoy yourselves because
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna be. I mean, yeah. Please look at the pandemic and messing with the natural way of things and how quickly that can spiral. So yeah, I for one welcome our bear overlords.
I know two things to be true. One is that subscribers to Johncast News have access to a good cup of common sense. And to go with that cup of common sense is the perfect cup of coffee. Ribby Coffee. It's never bitter, air roasted, and customized. It's the best coffee around. Ribbycoffee.com. That's KRIBICoffee.com. If you're near Forest Park or Oak Park, be sure to stop by one of the Cribby Cafes where you can order ahead and earn points on the easy to use Cribby Coffee app. Yeah, there's an app. The Cribby Coffee app makes it easy to get your favorite air roasted coffee faster than ever. Earn points on every purchase toward free drinks and freshly roasted coffee. Customize your order, pay with Google Pay or Apple Pay, and skip a line. Your daily coffee just got a whole lot smoother. Of course, if you can't make it to the cafe, you can always order your favorite air-roasted coffee sent directly to your door. My favorite is the Mount Oku from Cameroon. You pick the beans, you customize the roast and the grind, and they send it right to your door. Want Cribby Roast delivered on your schedule? Subscribe to save 15% on your first order and 10% on every refill. Did I mention they offer K-Cups too? Ribby Coffee. Ribbycoffee.com. That's KRIBICoffee.com. Proud sponsor of Johncast News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers. Well, before we get into the whole
Yeah, John,
bear.
when I wrote that, when I sent the note about our end of the year podcast, I wrote bear, wrote bears. I meant the Chicago Bears. I should have clarified.
Well, listen, okay, let's apply the Chicago Bears to this end of the year podcast because, yeah, they're great now, and I did my mea culpa. Sorry, sorry, Mr. Quarterback, and all that. I apologize for having no faith. But now, what happened? There's one thing. I'm a Bear fan. I've always been a Bear fan. One thing about Bear fans and the Bears, there was a thing called defense. Did you see any defense? Anyone out there? Did you see any defense Sunday night when the Bears? What was the final score?
It was, yeah, 42-38. It was a old-fashioned shootout. I'm sure by the time people have listened to this, they've heard enough conversation about about that game. Because I mean, it was an entertaining game. There's no doubt. But I think the more interesting Bears news is the possibly moving to just across the border, just far enough into Indiana to be considered an Indiana team. And technically be the Chicago Bears. It'd be closer for you, John, but I love that the state's like, well, we're not going to help you. You're a billionaire team. And the team's like, well, fine. Then we will go to a different state and still be just close enough. Neener, neener, neener. We're going to Indiana.
There's so many things going on that we have to talk about, but the Bears coming to Indiana would be one of them because with that move, they will bring more people with them, and then I'm going to have to move to another state like Tennessee or Alabama or something. I'll go shrimp. I'll become a shrimper, like a blogger shrimp guy, on a shrimp boat.
I for one am all for it, only because as we've talked about this forever in this podcast and together and in life, that the state is being run like a carnival. And if the big top blows away, people will be like, oh, crap, these guys don't know what they're doing. You know, if the Bears wind up in seriously wind up with a stadium that have everything they want in Indiana, just across the border, like straddling the border, that's the big domino that's going to fall to push people be like, what the hell have you done to the state? You've driven the Bears out of this state. You know, it's so bad that the football team, the billion-dollar rich football team, doesn't want to get taxed to hell, is moved to Indiana. Then people will wake up and be like, what the hell? Like, what's happening? How did the people we elected let this happen? How did the people we elected get into this deal with the stadium in the first place, that it was just atrocious? Or this White Sox stadium deal, which was atrocious. I mean, all these things, and we never really, it's such a slow burn till you see how stupid of a management is. And then when it finally happens, people are just, have already given up. You know, the White Sox, no one cares. The White Sox left town, no one's going to be like, oh my God, the city, they did a bad deal. Like, yeah, the Brian's been on the wall for years that they're.
Hey, Frog. Froggy, do you think it's getting warm in here, Frog?
Exactly.
Yeah. For those who don't know, we're talking about how to boil frogs without having them jump out of the pot.
Right.
Just put them in there. And slowly turn up the heat slowly.
Yeah.
And they're cooked before they even know it. Mm-hmm. I would rather clean them before, but anyway. The point being, they're so foolish that they don't even know that they're being boiled.
Yeah.
I am looking at Pritzker and Kwame Raoul fighting a doging of Illinois. There's got to be an examination on the same level that we examined Minnesota for Illinois. There's billion-dollar fraud in Minnesota. Where's the examination in Illinois?
The difference is that Illinois and Chicago have been in this game so long. It's the Chicago way, after all, that they've essentially made it legal to do most of the stuff, the fraud, the money that's going. We have so many layers of government in this state that everybody gets the
mosquito abatement.
I mean, all that stuff. Every layer. I mean, that's just that. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, if once the Bears leave and we start saying, well, look, you couldn't get any of these. Well, this city of Arlington Heights couldn't get it done because the next level up the chain wanted their take. And then the next level up of government up the chain wanted their take. The county wanted their take. And then all the way up to this, the state legislature. I mean, that's the reason. You've got, there aren't, businesses are not large scale businesses are fleeing the state because they don't have to work with 17 levels of bureaucracy to do anything in the state and then have to pay the graft tax that's built into everything they do with, if it's taxes or if it's having to pay, fees and services and all this crap up the wazoo. Then that's why they moved to Indiana and call themselves the Chicago Bears.
If we look at Illinois problems, the corruption, the ever-increasing taxes, the declining services, little girls getting burned on the L, and Tony Preckwinkle not having anything to say about it, you'll realize that there should be a doge in Illinois, but we don't have that, do we? We don't do it.
No.
And so we sit here in the pot and wonder why is my upper lip sweating? Because it's hot in here.
I think that would put Pritzker, I know we don't, Pritzker, Johnson, probably front runners for my Moots of the Year locally. If we're keeping it local, they win no matter what.
I've never really given a Moots of the Year because I was not, because of Christmas and then it was
sure.
So close to New Year's Eve that I was always like, well, be kind, John. What happened? Love thy neighbor, baby, in the words of Kojak. But then I'm thinking, Moots of the Year is somehow needed.
Right. Well, this is something you should give out at the end of January. It should be a two for Moots of the Month, whatever's happened in the first 30, 25 days of the year. And then you should there should also be a celebratory Moots of the 2025 Moots of the Year. So people should start submitting their recommendations now.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. Now that everyone within the earshot of our voices understand that Mutza of the Year will be given out in the end of January, beginning of February.
Yes.
And get your nominations ready. But there's other things to discuss now, Jeff. I have to confess that I've got two Christmas presents from myself.
Yeah.
So the best kind. The best kind is when you get Christmas presents from your kids and wife, but also when you get books for yourself, then you know exactly what you want. And the two books, one, think of Ilhan Omar and her face, haughty face of Ilhan Omar, and the title, American Ingrate by Benjamin Weingarten, Ilhan Omar and the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democratic Party. And I have to see whether it begins with Obama or not. I'll have to read it. And the other book, Pagan America by John Daniel Davidson, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. Uh-oh, I don't think it's a happy ending here.
Some light reading for the 2026 to start things.
I saw a lecture of Mr. David. John Daniel Davidson writes for one of my favorite periodicals, The Federalist, and he was given a lecture at Hillsdale College, and Hillsdale sent me a video of his lecture. And after that, I was like, okay, I have to quit. I can't do this lecture because they asked me to a lecture in February. And I don't know. He is just so impressive.
Yeah.
That I can't even begin to compete. And I just...
Well, it's not a competition, John.
No, I know it's not, but it is.
And that's unfortunate. And it's natural, right, to feel that way. But in reality... I mean, it's Hillsdale and what they're doing there, and people are not aware of it, but it's a non-profit college. It's not a traditional styled college that relies on funds from.
It's a college that prides itself on not taking federal money,
right?
Exactly. And therefore, it can teach students. It's a great college. I'm so excited to be asked to be part of it.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to it. That'll happen early February.
Yeah, and you should, like I said, it's more about the transfer of knowledge and the sharing of insight and thoughts. So regardless of the style or quality, John, no one's giving points for that. You know,
think of the Europe as a dark age, Europe destroyed. And then you can go to some university in Europe where there's high walls and around it, there's still learning that's taking place, because that's what I think of Hillsdale, a refuge of civilization.
Yeah, and so civil discourse.
Well, it's not like, as I told you before we started this, it's not like the Chicago Tribune Guild is asking me speech. You know,
I don't think
it would be nice. Bring your own vegetables. Cass is talking. Yeah, right.
Bring your own vegetables. I'm sure every member of the guild has their own compost pile waiting at home for you, John.
Yes, they do. They're waiting to embrace me as a lost brother. But I don't think.
Well, I've got some books for you, John. A couple of books I'm starting too for. On the opposite end of the spectrum, maybe not. The Sumerians, Their History, Culture, and Character. It's this book by Samuel Noah Kramer. I love listening to, and especially if I'm driving in a truck to deliveries, like just academic books on history. Because you always get such a great, you know, rundown. And so anyway, I always curious about ancient history. So I'm a big book fan. Also, another book I just finished, but I'd recommend, is called It's the Wrong Stuff, How the Soviet Space Program Crashed and Burned.
Okay.
And the basic gist of it is this guy went through like millions and millions and millions of stories and files and stuff that are being developed and come out since the fall of the Soviet Union, because there's just so much stuff that, like, all of a sudden someone will open up a cabinet in, you know, Kazakhstan, and all of a sudden there's a dirge of personal papers that somebody during the Soviet program was taking, you know, a private journal that shouldn't have been there or whatever. Anyway, you got really cool stuff, insight into the Russian space program and just how wild it was, and they were cowboys in their own right, just trying stuff and doing things and hoping for the best. And just an amazing story of just how crazy it was, how ramshackle, they call it, the wrong stuff. I recommend that book by John Strasberg.
What's his name? Tell me.
John Strasberg.
Okay. The Wrong Stuff.
The Wrong Stuff, yeah.
Play on the right stuff, yes.
Right, exactly.
Okay, another thing. I'll tell you another thing that's the wrong stuff. It is the government of the city of Chicago. What the hell's going on?
Well, right.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're throwing out Mutsa of the Year nominees, you know, Brandon Johnson's name has to be in the running. This is the first time the city is passing a budget without the mayor's even interest. I mean, he's essentially said, I want this budget that's going to raise taxes, do a head tax, a corporate head tax. And city council was like, that's a bad idea. And they essentially passed their own that didn't include that. And it doesn't really fix any problems, but it doesn't do that. And he said, well, fine, I'm taking my ball and going home. And then you guys, it'll pass by a default. It'll default pass because he won't sign it. He's not going to veto it, even though, because if he did veto it, there's enough votes to override his veto, which would be an even more embarrassing. So what is he doing? He's doing nothing and saying that this is going to raise taxes and it's going to be unfair. And I had nothing to do with it. It sounds like that's what he's going to run on. But I don't think he's got a chance in the hell on making a case for that.
Well, he's running on destroying the city. That's what he's saying. This action that he's taking, or non-action, is I don't care. I'm not going to move to anything. I'm just going to let it happen what happens.
Right.
Because there is no leadership in Chicago, and there's nobody willing to take on the Chicago Teachers Union and the bane of my existence, the angry white female leftists who've destroyed the city and who basically have supported Brendan Johnson, elected him, and destroyed everything.
Yeah, he's not running to destroy the city, to the city. He's running to destroy or dismantle the, you know, the white city. This is white, which is ironic given the historic importance of the white city. Right. And sure, there was a Irish white power horde that controlled most of the power and money in the city for decades.
Yeah, but it's no longer here.
Right. They've been gone for two decades. You're not fixing any of the things that they, if you think they did things wrong, they haven't done anything to fix any of those things. They've just done things to enrich and empower themselves to then be able to funnel things to their ilk, which is the Daily Power Machine did the same thing. I mean, that was their thing. And they're just doing it in a different way. And this way includes the most of the service unions and the teachers union, obviously, and that's the power base that they're now, you know, funneling to. And there's another reason to vote, because I don't know if you've seen this, John. I real sidestep here, but
please do.
Preckwinkle's been out with her first campaign ads, and they're just straight up, you know, attack ads on Alderman Brendan Riley, and the only message they have is they are calling Riley, and this is their laying early groundwork, calling Riley a Trump supporter, which is the most laughable thing. And they're saying and calling him a Trump supporter because he was, you know, pro development and having the Trump Tower development happen. And they're saying that makes him pro Trump, which is interesting because you and I both know he's not. He's certainly not a pro Trump guy and hasn't been, you know, for a long time. It's ironic
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. The reason why he's a pro-Trump supporter is simple. All you have to do is look at him. The man has white skin.
Oh, right.
His name's Riley. It's kind of a pink tinge to the skin. And that's all you need if you're right. Tony Preckwinkle to trash somebody, just like she did to,
yeah,
just like her surrogates did to Paul Vallis. The same idea.
Absolutely. Well, and here's the behind the curtain on that is this is how they do it. They plant this story, you know, they start this campaign ad, right? And it goes out there. And then they have a media flack who will put it out, right, report on her ad as like it's news when it's not. I don't understand that. The same people who report on press releases, you know, they get a press release from her campaign and they're going to say, well, it's, you know, that's news. And they read the campaign.
Stenographers say, of the press.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's nonsense. And so they write the story. The story gets written and says, oh, January 1st or whatever it is. So flash forward a month from now, 2 months from now, someone's like, is Brendan Riley a Trump supporter? They pull it up. There is a story from January, December that says, oh, you know, she's being called a Trump supporter. It must be, you know, oh, well, this was out on the internet before I even searched for this. And then they use that to bludgeon him over the head with it and say, look, he is. It's out there. And that's how their army, you know, disseminates information like this and discredits someone like a Brendan Riley or a Paul Vallis. And that's what I hate. It's so sneaky. It's so evil. You know, they're not, she's not playing on thoughts and ideas. It's playing on fear. And it's the worst. It's dictatorial. You know, that's how dictators take power, is they play on fear. It's just awful.
It's, you know what? And they scream about authoritarianism.
Right.
And then you find out only too late, they are the ones who are the authoritarians.
Right. Right.
I was a Democrat once.
Yeah. Well,
no, I was when I was a young man. I
know.
I voted for Jimmy Carter.
Well, I can see that. It's you know, he's a nice guy.
No, what I'm saying is that's how the thing goes.
I know.
You're a young person. You have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the possibilities of goodness. And then all of a sudden you sort of grow up and you realize that there is no bag of unicorns and rainbows and you need somebody flinty to fight off. Like, I have to read Pagan America now, the decline of Christianity and the dark age to come, because it is coming. I look at the, you want to talk about the year in review? Look at Europe. How many thousands of people are in prison in England for speaking up about what their government is doing? You ever think you would ever see the day when Englishmen would be imprisoned for opening their mouths in some sort of 1984 dystopian nonsense? But it's happening right now. And we're just sitting around like frogs. That's what I think your title of the of this podcast should be: Frogs in the Pot.
But John, you know, there was something, and we should, as we kind of wind it up here, you did mention this in your Christmas column, which was lovely, that how Americans, you know, we find a way, and you know, that's always been my fallback on anything when these large big problems that everyone, you know, pulls their hair and runs around on screaming about. Global warming, you know, things like that. I think Americans, I think humans, we're inventive.
Maybe this is the year, and I want to thank everybody within earshot of our voices that this has been the great year. This has been 2025, a wonderful year with John Cass, Jeff Carlin, and the Chicago Way podcast. Love you all very much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we'll see you next time for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.